Greetings, everyone. Welcome to episode 100 of the Musical Connections podcast. For 100 episodes, you have discovered more about the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. You've explored what makes our music scene so special and unique. From the tunes we've played to the guests we've had, we have gone on a mission of growing our Newfoundland and Labrador music industry one song at a time. To all the musicians who have contributed for Newfound releases, and to all the people that I've had on Next to Connect, thank you so, so much for making this project of mine a reality and for making my dreams come true. The first 100 episodes were absolutely fantastic, and the next 100 will be even better. Now, with Music NL being such big supporters of this project since the very beginning, it makes sense for me that I have the executive director of Music NL for episode 100 of Musical Connections. On this week's episode, I bring on the new executive director of Music NL, Tamara Cater. Tamara comes on Next to Connect to talk about how she got into that role in the first place and recaps a successful Music Celebration Week 2024. Plus, we find out more about where she grew up and how she got into the music industry, plus her founding Maven's Music, and so much more. We will get there right after we feature another great batch of Newfound releases. These releases came out between November 3rd to the 9th, and we kick it all off with the Last Cowboy himself, Mr. Damien Follett. He's released this tune a couple of weeks ago to streaming services, but is now making a national radio campaign out of this brand new song. This song dropped to national radio this past Friday, and right now from Damien Follett, here is The Last Cowboy on Newfound Releases.
When I'm an old man, I hope I still remember that young man. Think about September, summer winding down, leaves everywhere on the ground. When I think about this life and my fingers start to tremble, knowing this might be my last December, I hope that I ain't the last cowboy in this town. 'Cause time don't stop, it just keeps on going, and everything we got, it all starts slowing down until it's time to take a bow. So we hope and pray to see another Christmas. We search for grace and ask God to forgive us now before they lay us in the ground. Tell me, what's it all about? So is your heart full? Do you really understand it? Did you find the one? I bet you didn't even plan it. Only God knows what you really leave behind. So be a good man and you'll find the road to heaven. Lend a helping hand and learn from all those lessons. And when your time comes, all you do is follow the signs. 'Cause time don't stop, it just keeps on going, and everything we got, it all starts slowing down until it's time to take a bow. So we hope and pray to see another Christmas. We search for grace and ask God to forgive us now before they lay us in the ground. Tell me, what's it all about? So when I think about this life and my fingers start to tremble, knowing this might be my last December, I hope that I ain't the last cowboy in this town.
with The Last Cowboy. That was Damien Follett for you here on Newfound Releases. You can call this week and many other weeks that we've had here on the show the week of the album drop. Our first Newfound release from an album that came out this week is Dave Witte. He put out his fourth studio album, Long Way to Go, this past Friday, and he had a very successful album release show at The Ship on November 9th. And right now, from his brand new album, Long Way to Go, here's Dave Witte for you now with Stormy Weather on Newfound Releases.
I can't tell you all the things you do to me. I hear you speaking softly and I light up instantly. You take my soul and you sing to it. I can see you in my dreams. I see you lying next to me and then I see you leave. I ain't seen you, baby, crying for a while. I haven't seen you nowhere. Haven't seen much of you this time. You were walking past the window. It was just the other day. I would have stopped you if I caught you, but I had no words to say to you. Where'd you come from, baby? Why you gotta go? Why do you keep on telling me things I already know? I see your smile coming back at me. It's through a dirty glass. Not the only one who's lonely, but tonight I'm gonna pass on you. I haven't thought of you since I was 22. Where you been hiding? What did they do to you? I know you're out there somewhere, lost in another way. I hope you're holding on to something, knowing brighter days aren't far away. Where'd you come from, baby? Why you gotta go? Why do you keep on telling me things I already know? I see your smile coming back at me. It's through a dirty glass. Not the only one who's lonely, but tonight I'm gonna pass. Gonna pass on you. If we go down, baby, we'll go down together. We've got no reason to pretend. We'll make our passes and get out of stormy weather. We'll drive this till the very end. Already know, I see your smile coming back at me. It's through a dirty glass. Not the only one who's lonely, but tonight I'm gonna pass. Gonna pass, gonna pass. Gonna pass on you.
Dave Witte for you on Newfound Releases with Stormy Weather. We are now going to meet the stars of the poolside with La Kit. They are a duo consisting of Gabe Roberge and Kyle Brewer. And from their new album, Stars of the Poolside, here is Santa Anita Racetrack on Newfound Releases.
Thank you. again. Rack your mind all night. Think I'll keep my cool. Then again, the others don't. I came back to Jesse's house. Then again, creatures came to fight. They shot back again. Back of your mind all night. Sleep fine. Sometimes sweet lines to speak mine. With blood lines from blush wine, it's gone down fine. It's a fucked up time. We'll see you at mine. There's something in this drink. The creatures came to fight. They shot back again. In the back of your mind all night. Something in this drink. The creatures came to fight. They shot back again. Back of your mind all night. Call before you land, and then again. Call before.
And that was Le Kit with Santa Anita Racetrack. We continue newfound releases this week with country singer-songwriter Peter Vance. He put out an EP back on Wednesday called The Pavement, and with three advanced singles coming off that same album. Those songs are Nothing to Lose, This Side of the Blue, and Cadillac. All three we featured on this segment before. Right now, from that new EP, here is Small Talking on Newfound Releases.
'Cause now we're just small talking. 'Cause that makes me a dead man walking. All of the words I think I lost them. And now we're just small talking. Some call it bad luck. I call it Friday at night. When you got your eye on me from back at the bar. Ships in the night. Thought that I'd be your guy, but I won't take it to heart. We used to close it down. Last call, had us all shook up. Well, it's all over now. Yeah, I hope there ain't no bad blood. 'Cause now we're just small talking. You stay. Dead man walking. All of the words I think I
On Newfound Releases with Small Talking. It's from his recently released EP called The Pavement. And it's about time we get into the Christmas spirit, or at least get a little bit of it in ya, with Quote the Raven. They have a brand new tune that'll get you in the holiday spirit and might put you to sleep, but in a good way, not a bad way, trust me. Right now, here are Quote the Raven for ya with Christmas Lullaby on Newfound Releases.
Up and believe just enough. The magic is right where we are.
We'll know tonight when Santa Claus takes flight by the snowflakes dancing with the stars.
I know you wanna see the sleigh with Rudolph in the lead. Unless you close your eyes, you'll miss those candy cane dreams.
Good night, everything's alright. Tomorrow is Christmas Day.
Lights, the ribbons tied with presents round the tree. They're once a year, but Everclear is what you mean to me.
Good night, everything's alright. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. Good night. Everything's alright. Tomorrow is Christmas Day.
Man, I just love these guys so much. Their harmonies are absolutely incredible. Just try to match them. Any artist out there, match them for me, please. I dare ya. Quote the Raven for you on Newfound Releases with Christmas Lullaby. And do we have more releases coming your way? Yes, we do. We now go to Caribbean-born but Newfoundland-based Chant Le Savant. I was doing a little bit of research on this guy, and he was raised in Barbuda and Antigua. Pretty interesting stuff there, and he's got a really unique sound, very modern R&B. Here's Chant Le Savant's second single for ya. This is Yes You Can on Newfound Releases.
Mic check, 1, 2.
Would you believe if I told you there's not a limit to what you can do, believe in yourself in the moment. when you break through. You can do anything you set your mind to. As long as your heart and soul are in tune. Look at all the things you've done and the mountains you've overcome. Still so many victories left to be won. You've only just begun. And when you've given everything you have, you can keep going. Yes, you can. And when it all doesn't go as planned, you can still do it. Yes, you can. And when you've been knocked right off your stance, just get back up, 'cause I know you can. As long as you give yourself a chance, you'll get through anything. Yes, you can. Would you believe if I told you the sky doesn't have to be blue? There's more to see in the spectrum. Don't limit your sight to just one you. Every heartache doesn't have to break you. Every time you fall doesn't mean you're through. Each battle you fight just makes you stronger. It all depends on your point of view. Look at all the things you've done and the mountains you've overcome. Still so many victories left to be won. You've only just begun. And when you've given everything you have, you can keep going. Yes, you can. And when it all doesn't go as planned, you can still do it. Yes, you can. And when you've been knocked right off your stance, just get back up, 'cause I know you can. As long as you give yourself a chance, you'll get through anything. Yes, you can.
Voice a little raspy. Voice is gone.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And that was Chante La Savante with Yes, You Can. And we wrap up this week's batch of newfound releases for episode number 100 with the legends themselves, 30 years and still going loud and proud, Shanaganuck. You think after 30 years they would just release a greatest hits album at this point and then just call it quits. But no, they're still going strong, and after 30 years of releasing original material with songs like One More Will Stand, Newfoundland Must Band, and covers like The Islander and Rockin' on the Water, they have become legends in our Newfoundland and Labrador music sector. They put out Life in the Harbor this past Friday, which is their first album of all original material, and what an album this is. These songs are absolutely fantastic, and some of the songs that you've heard in the past, like Rain, Drizzle, and Fog, Live Till I Die, and The Twine Needle, these will be songs that we will all remember for years to come. Well, if you can roll it, I can smoke it. If you can pour it, I can drink. If you can hum it, I can play it. Well, you don't think so, but I do think we got a new song coming out for you now. Right now, from Life in the Harbor, Shanaganuck on Newfound Releases with If You Can Roll It.
If you can roll it, I can smoke it. If you can pour it, I can drink. If you can hum it, I can play it. You don't think so, but I do think.
Down on the Isle of Newfoundland and up to Labrador, if there's a party on the go, yes, I'll be there for sure. A chance I wouldn't miss, me boys, the pleasure is all mine. No, I never would miss out now on a chance to have a time.
If you can roll it, I can smoke it. If you can pour it, I can drink. If you can hum it, I can play. If you don't think so, but I do think.
Out around the baby bars or even here in town, I never will give up a chance to sing or plank her down. So haul out that accordion and yes, strike up the band. I'm a man who loves the party in Labrador and Newfoundland.
If you can roll it, I can smoke it. If you can pour it, I can drink. If you can hum it, I can play. If you don't think so, but I do think.
No matter the occasion, be a wedding or a wake, in happy times or sadness, I'm the one you have to take. If you're looking for a sing-song or someone to step her out, I'm the one to get her going, on that there is no doubt.
If you can roll it, I can smoke it. If you can pour it, I can drink. If you can hum it, I can play. If you don't think so, but I do think. If you can roll it, I can smoke it. If you can pour it, I can drink. If you can hum it, I can play. If you don't think so, but I do think.
From the southern tip of Old Cape Racing up as far as Maine, if I seem to be familiar, that's because we are the same. There's one at every party, yes, there's one you surely know. When you really want to have a time to get her on the go.
If you can roll it, I can smoke it. If you can pour it, I can drink. If you can hum it, I can play. If you don't think so, then I do think. If you can roll it, I can smoke it. If you can pour it, I can drink. If you can hum it, I can play. If you don't think so, then I do think.
And that wraps up our 100th batch of Newfound releases. I still can't believe we're here at 100 episodes. I would have never thought when I started this project back in 2022 that we would be 100 episodes deep. And next week will be the 2-year anniversary of the launch of this podcast. So a big thank you to everyone who has supported and have listened to this podcast. This is only the beginning. If you want to find out how you qualify for Newfound releases, I got a link tree that you can go to. You can go to linktree.com/ZachSnowNL, and I have a bunch of tabs on there, and one of them contains the Newfound Releases Guide. Click on it, and you'll find out everything that you need to know about this segment. It tells you how you qualify and who qualifies and what you need to include in your submission package. If you got any questions, comments, or concerns, feel free to email musicalconnectionsnl@gmail.com. And for the 100th time, it is now time for Next to Connect, where I connect with musicians and industry professionals about the careers and their brand new projects. And with a brand new role as the Executive Director of Music NL, I welcome back to the podcast Tamara Cater. We talked to her all about her brand new role as ED and the plans they've got in store for 2025 and for the next 3 years. Music NL will be holding community consultations on November 13th at the Battery Cafe and then November 14th and 16th online. These consultations will help develop their 3-year strategic plan to help guide them through 2027. I also talked to Tamara about moving to Newfoundland and Labrador, plus her roots in this province, and how she got involved in the music industry, which includes her founding Maven's Music. We also talk about everything from the East Coast Music Awards to the music industry to a term that she called the late-stage capitalist music economy. This is such a fun one, so I'm not going to waste any more time. Let's connect with the Executive Director of Music NL, Tamara Cater. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Musical Connections Podcast, second half of the show. This is Next to Connect, and I am your host, Zach Snow. Well, joining me right now, she is the newly minted Executive Director of Music NL, coming off a successful Music Celebration Week 2024. They are now planning another 3-year plan for 2025 to 2027, and they have a couple of town halls by the time that this does air. They'll be looking at what their vision is for 2025, and ahead of that is my guest at this time. Welcome back to the Musical Connections Podcast, Tamara Cater. T, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thank you so much for having me today, Zach.
And this is our second time doing this, because the first time we did this, I was working with Music NL, and you were still running your management company, Maven's Music.
That's right. We were in Corner Brook, Music Celebration Week 2022.
Yep, and that was at the Rotary Arts Center.
And I think it might be almost 2 years to the day because it was right on like the eve of Halloween.
Yes, it was.
Halloween was coming up upon us.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And Cornerbrook was an absolute blast. And getting to meet so much people, one you are the one included because you were just about to move to Newfoundland at the time.
Yeah.
And now you've been here for about 2 years. So,
I have, yeah. Yeah, that was actually like my car was packed to the gills. And that was part of my journey. After I left Cornerbrook, I moved to St. John's.
And the housewarming party must have been a great time.
Well, that was my joke, was that Music NL threw me a welcome party, really, in Cornerbrook. So, yeah, that joke has had a long tail to it, I guess.
Oh, yes. Now, you just came off Music Celebration Week 2024. We're about a month or two out of it now. And you are now the newly minted executive director of Music NL. So, off the hop here, just coming off Music Celebration Week 2024, how do you feel?
Oh, great. I mean, it was a very fast runway to get that plane off the ground. But thanks to the team we had, the community support, our funders, our sponsors, all our members, everybody just helped us really, you know, hold a beautiful, successful event.
Yes. And one of the positives about that, the weather was nice because normally it's held around this time.
It is, although, you know, if it were held today, it's nice today, too. But it was really nice to, like, show our delegates and all the visitors from off-island that Newfoundland can be sunny and warm.
So what were some of the comments that you received from this Music Celebration Week now, like, you've been out of it now for the past month or so?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that we were bringing together, and we're trying to do a lot in a few days. We're trying to, you know, showcase performers, bring some performances to the community, hand out two evenings, you know, two award ceremonies, and hotel showcases and professional development and panels. I'm pleased to say it all went really well. And, you know, from the artist end of things, we got really good feedback about the panels that we offered, which is, it really makes me happy because that was something we tried to up the ante on in a very short period of time. And that came together well. The delegates, of course, had a wonderful time. And everyone, we know this, but it deserves mentioning again that Newfoundland is a wonderful place for people to visit if they've never been here before, if they're returning. And so we always, I think, do a really good job with hospitality, and the delegates who come 100%. From off island feel really wonderful about the time they've spent. A lot of discovery for them, you know. We showcase a range of artists, some of whom are just getting their, you know, their touring, their team, their music. They're on the front end of their career. They're on the emerging end. And then others who are already touring and seasoned in that area. And, you know, the delegates love what they hear. I think we also had, oh my gosh, it was like 300 or 400 business meetings. All of those were really successful.
Wow.
I just got an email from a publisher yesterday who signed two Newfoundland artists. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, lots of really great things came out of it.
Do you know who those two artists are?
I do, but I don't know if I'm allowed to. I don't want to scoop them.
No,
if
it's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, I think it'll be announced later this month.
Yes, they'll announce it. It's their right to announce it.
Yeah, it's their news, yeah.
But it's great to see that, and especially, you know, with the time that you had to prepare. You came into the job in July, and you put that together in about 8 to 9 weeks. The time that you had and what came out of it, it was great. And it was a pleasure to be a part of it once again.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, Zach. And thanks for being there. It was so wonderful to have you. You know, every time I walk by, you were in the lobby interviewing someone else and collecting all this content. And I felt like what you brought to our vibe was really energetic, and it was awesome.
And I do have one more to air, and that'll be Rosalind McPhail towards the end of November. But once again, I'm very proud to be a part of Music Celebration Week and very happy to walk away with the Media Person of the Year once again. It's right over there on my shelf. And but getting the opportunity to do this and cover our music scene and building it one song at a time, as I like to say, I can't thank you guys enough for your support with this podcast. And I'm very glad I'm able to get you on here again to talk about all this.
That's great. That's great. Well, thanks for waiting until I had a nap after Music Celebration Week.
Right. Now, you got the role back in July. How did you get it to begin with?
Oh, well, I expressed interest at the time when Rhonda left, and, you know, it took a while for the actual search to happen. At first, there was someone, you know, Leonard Picor did a great job kind of holding on the fort in the interim, and then they opened it up with a hiring committee and an HR professional and as a consultant. And I applied, went through a couple of interviews and that sort of thing, had lots of long conversations with the hiring committee about my background, my vision, et cetera. And there I was in the beginning of July.
Yeah. And when I heard the announcement that it was going to be you, I was so, so happy it was you. Because of your experience in the management field, you ran festivals, you've been an executive director in many organizations before that. So to have your experience now, especially as an artist agent and manager, to bring that to the Music NL executive director position, I'm super excited that you got it.
Oh, thanks, Zach. I'm really happy, and it's definitely very helpful. My most recent experience, as you mentioned, when I landed at Music Celebration Week in Corner Brook, I was an artist manager. I was managing Mark Bragg. So to, you know, and I worked with Mark for, I think, 4 or 5 years. It was a good number of years. I've also helped, you know, other artists on more on a consulting basis, like Quote the Raven and other folks from Newfoundland. And so it really gives me a realistic vision of what's happening on the front line for artists and for managers.
Yeah. Now, with Maven's Music now, you're not doing that no more because of the position that you're in right now.
That's right. Yeah.
So who's running that nowadays?
No one.
No one. It's closed.
Yeah, it's closed. I think I have to update my website and officially say it's closed. But yeah, so bit by bit, my clients, I worked with them for them to find other support. And then someone took over my grant writing portfolio. I would do a lot of grant writing on spec just to help various artists out.
Yeah, and it's also helpful to have too, knowing that you've been there and you've done that, so you know that side of things, and you can be able to bring that to the Music
NL. Yeah, I actually had, you know, completed many a Music NL grant application as well as
so you know what grants. It's like. So,
yeah, I've literally been on the front end of the organization's services and really have a sense of what it was like.
For sure. Now, what do you remember most about your time running Maven's Music and the clients that you had?
Oh, wow. That's a broad question. I mean, you know, I built it from scratch, really, and, you know, was proud of the roster that I developed. I spent a bunch of years of that development. It was like 7 years, and I think 4 were in the pandemic. So it was, I felt like I just had just gotten things rolling when the pandemic hit, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I've always been an artist focused, no matter what job I was doing, is to really think that without the artists, none of us are here. We all need each other and it's all interconnected. But if artists are not making music, and if they're not supported in making music and in selling that music and having a small business around that music or a large business around that music, it all comes back to the artist. And so that has carried me through many, many a role. And it was very much how I worked with Maven's Music artists as well.
So how important is it to have like those kind of businesses to help those musicians, you know, guide them on their journey to, you know, where they want to be in their careers? Like how important are they?
I think they're vital, you know, particularly, and it was how I designed my business. So I had a few artists that I worked with long-term in management, and then I did consulting on top of that to try to allow artists who maybe don't need a manager, don't want a manager, they're, you know, things are going just fine the way they are, but they need a little help now and then, or they need a little expertise, or they need some management insight for a certain crossroads that they're at. Management is, you know, is 360. It's everything. You've got to know what you're doing on a lot of frontiers. And in fact, it was one of the things I liked about it is that as an artist manager, there was no way you could know everything. It was just impossible. Mm-hmm. So artist managers tended to be very interdependent and collaborative. If you didn't know the answer to a question, you would find one of your colleagues who did. You know, I was never really strong in publishing, but I was really strong in international touring and visas and things like that. And so you would develop a little network of interdependent kind of experts, and we would call each other. And I really appreciated that about management. And I think that those types of things, those moments where you need a little support, you need a little information, or where a music industry association can also be very, very supportive.
Yeah, and that's where collaboration really comes into play here, because when it comes to like running a business, especially like, you know, in the music business, you can't do it all by yourself.
No, no, absolutely not. And particularly when you're trying to be, you know, we're in the late stage capitalist music economy now. It's different than it was 10 years ago. It's different than it was 2 years ago. And it's just going to keep changing very, very quickly. And so having artists, giving them easy ways to learn and keep up to date with those changes, giving them things like that at their fingertips is a very key part, I think, of what a music industry association can do.
Late stage capitalist music economy. That's an interesting term there.
Yeah.
What does that look like now from your point of view?
Well, I think it looks like some of the things that we're hearing from the front lines. There's been the, you know, absolute practical loss of physical sales. So we don't, you know, artists don't earn very much anymore off of selling their music. They make music to tour music, but then touring's really expensive, and
ticket sales.
Yeah. I was going to say the money that audiences have available for ticket sales is now a lot of it's being eaten up by stadium tours. And a lot of those things are new. And, you know, the, for instance, the change to live ticket sales since we've come back from the pandemic. It's harder for people to go out on the road. It's harder for them to make money when they're out on the road. Costs are up. Revenue is stable at best. And that's, you know, what I think late stage capitalist music economy is about, unfortunately. And changing again. It'll change again in 6 months. Something new will come up, and we'll have a whole new kind of set of challenges and landscape ahead of us.
Yeah. So what are some of these challenges that you would see per se? Could you dive a little bit more deeper into it? I think you may have already explained it to me, but
yeah,
dive a little bit deeper.
Yeah. I mean, I think the revenue matrix that people have is, it's just completely different than it was 10 years ago. You could go to a venue and sometimes make more selling CDs than you'd actually made in your, you know, your performance fee. There was a lot more percentage of revenue coming from recording, and you would plan out recordings, time an album cycle, et cetera. And the streaming economy has really changed that. So now we're sort of starting to move towards a singles based EPs. So you're releasing more often in smaller packages. You know, you used to kind of, I feel like you would wind up a slingshot to release an album, and now it's more like boop, 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 small little shots of content. You have to be active out there all the time. You have to be on social media or it's just not going to work. And those are things that just didn't exist 10 years ago. Even before the pandemic, I think, you know, certainly on the touring front, things were different.
Yeah, we can talk about that until the cows come home.
We can,
really.
Yeah.
But I want to get to where you grew up to, because you spent some time in Ontario. You've moved here now to St. John's, but you grew up in Quebec. So tell me a little bit about where you grew up to.
Yeah, I grew up in Quebec. So I'm an Anglophone Quebecer, mais je suis bilingue et je parle en français. I went to school in French in rural Quebec, just outside Montreal. My grandparents lived in Montreal, and they and my mom were from Newfoundland. And my father's family lived very far away, and I didn't really have any contact with them.
Wow.
So the, you know, the people that I grew up with for Sunday dinner was a bunch of Newfoundlanders, and my grandparents operated an embassy for Newfoundlanders who were away, you know, and in the era where Montreal was a bit more the place you went to from Newfoundland. And my grandparents would take me home for, you know, summer trips to Newfoundland. And so I grew up in Quebec, but I grew up surrounded by a lot of Newfoundland culture that I didn't even realize was, I didn't even know what it, that it was Newfoundland. I just, it was my grandparents and my family, you know. And when my grandparents passed away, I kind of lost my connection to the island, and it was the music community that reconnected me.
So what part of Newfoundland did your grandparents grow up in?
My grandmother's from Grand Bank, and then my grandfather's from Ocracoke Cove, Conception Bay North area.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Now, how did you get into the music industry to begin with? Because you mainly spent a lot of time on the management side and the administration side of things. So how did you get into that?
The way I got into that, I've always loved music. When I was a kid growing up, I remember the first job I got when I was 15, I saved up to buy a little bookshelf stereo and some vinyl. You know, I had a Walkman on the school bus. Like, if I look back at myself in a younger age, music was always a part of my life. I was saving up money, taking the bus to Montreal to go see, like, you know, concerts at the Montreal Forum. And it was just always a part of my life. I played music, but I knew I didn't want to be a musician. And I think if I'd realized when I went to university that there was something like ethnomusicology or arts administration, I might have studied that, but I didn't. And I just kept music as a constant. And instead, I worked in not-for-profit management, mostly in the arts. So I worked in theater, and then I ended up working at the National Arts Center in Ottawa. And in that era, I started listening to a lot more folk music and going to folk festivals. And a job opened up running a folk festival. And I was like, maybe I could marry my love of folk music with my day job and do both things at once. And so that was kind of where my so-called career, as you may, as many people know me now, started then, about 20 years ago.
And that was the Winnipeg Folk Festival. You were the executive director of that?
No, it was actually the Ottawa Folk Festival.
Oh, Ottawa first. Folk Fest.
Yeah, so I worked for them for 3 years, and then I worked in Winnipeg for 3 years, and then I moved back east, so to speak. I moved to Toronto for the first time and ran Folk Music Canada, so a national arts service / music industry association. And then I went from there to management and ended up here.
So what did you enjoy most about, you know, being executive directors and being one of the admin professionals of that Canadian folk scene? What do you enjoy most about that time?
Well, I love the community, and I know there's community in every genre. It's not just, you know, folkies like to think that they're the friendliest ones, but I know that the hip hop community and the metal community, everybody has their own community. And, you know, when you find your community, it's cool. You find people who like similar things to what you like, and you develop, I think, lifelong friendships and a real network of people that you have affinity with, and who you can reach out to for professional or even personal help. It's kind of like having an extended family all over the world.
For sure. Now, one of the big things about Newfoundland and Labrador, we love our folk music. We have, like, trad folk music, contemporary folk.
Yeah.
Some of the best acts come out of the province are folk musicians. Ron Hines is one of them. Great Big Sea is another one. The Irish Descendants, right now, Rum Ragged. Do you have any, like, favorite artists that you enjoyed listening to growing up when it came to folk music?
Well, my grandfather listened to a lot of Harry Hibbs, and I really enjoyed that. He was also big into the Irish Rovers. I think there was some Dick Nolan in there too. There's probably more that I just didn't know who it was, you know, at the time. And then as an adult in my lifetime, when I kind of started hanging out in the folk music world, and I'd lost my connection to Newfoundland, there were several people whose music was really helpful for me in reconnecting. That would be Amelia Curran, the Dardanelles, the Wants, Matthew Byrne. All of those artists were starting to showcase at various conferences when I was realizing how much of my childhood had been Newfoundland imprinted. And so they were just really kind and patient with me after sometimes, you know, after Matthew Byrne would sing some trad song, I'd be like, oh, I knew all the words to that. Where is that song from? And I would just kind of, you know, they helped me sort of piece together, you know, some of the puzzles of my childhood experience.
Wonderful. Yeah. And some of those artists that you named, the Dards, like, they're one of, I think we can call them now a super group, because a lot of the members now have gone on to achieve some success individually or with other groups. I mean, Aaron Collins,
absolutely.
Ragged, Matthew Byrne, Tom Powers hosting Q now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Amelia Kern's one of our greatest singer-songwriters to ever come out of here. I think she started busking when she started like playing and stuff.
Wow. Like, I don't know that story about Amelia, but I remember, she's just tremendous.
Yeah, I remember I had DC on the podcast and he was telling me about that. I was either on the air or off the air. And then Matthew Burns, one of our greatest traditional songwriting collectors that we have here. Yeah. So you have that connection to Newfoundland and Labrador through your grandparents. Why move back here after so long?
Well, I started to collect a lot of friends here. And every time I visited, I was really sad that I was leaving. And I would just read more. I'd go back to wherever I was living at the time and just immerse myself in Newfoundland history and literature for a good month or so after a visit. And, you know, I discovered things like my nan was born in Labrador, and like just every time I'd come home, I would go to the archives and find more family history. And it just, I just kept wanting to spend more time here. And then I almost moved back before the pandemic, but I wasn't in a position to do so. But I was looking at rentals and just keep like, I kind of had my eye on moving here. And then the pandemic happened. And that was a period for many of us where we were like, no, I really want to change. I want to do something differently, et cetera. And I got very caught, you know, I haven't hidden the fact that I got very caught financially because not only was I working in the music business, but my CERB benefits were stolen through identity theft. So I ended up with no money. Like even the emergency money I had was not available to me.
Wow.
And through, you know, Unison and a lot of other kind of means and ways, I survived. But I just vowed to myself that once I was out of this, I did not want to be stuck in Toronto paying a lot of rent.
Yes, because so, compared to us here, like it's... Rent's expensive no matter where you go, but compared here to, say, a Toronto, you're paying like triple the amount of rent for, say, like a one-bedroom apartment or like if you're sharing with a couple of roommates. But yeah, that sucks.
It was just a lot. I'd gone from owning my own place to temporarily renting, and the temporary had turned into a more long-term thing because of that situation I was in the pandemic. And just at any rate, I just spent the pandemic mostly plotting how to get here. And reading more, and I did a lot of genealogy and, you know, researched real estate listings, and I just meditated and prepared on how to get here. And so that when you met me in Corner Brook, that was the long arc of preparation of me being really happy to have finally made it to the island.
Yeah, and really happy to have you here on the island and, you know, being here now for 2 years and now running Music NL. We're so happy that we can call you ours now.
I'm delighted to finally, you know, be living here and to be working with such a brilliant community.
For sure. What do you enjoy most about living here in Newfoundland and Labrador?
Oh, wow. Jeez, gosh, don't get me started, Zach. Like, it's like a whole other episode. Listen,
it won't be fun if I don't get you started.
I know. It's just like, I love the beauty of it. You know, I try to pick as many people up as I can at the airport. If you've never been here before, I'm like going to try to, and you're a friend of mine, I'll pick you up at the airport. We'll generally go straight up to Signal Hill and I'll try to be like, just not only is it good to like figure out where you are and look over the city and have a sense of what the city is, but to be able to look out to Cape Spear and to see all of this rugged beauty. I love it. I love the people. I love the culture. I love that I can live in downtown St. John's, and I do way more than I did when I lived in Toronto because everything's a 12-minute walk. You know, how far is that? Well, it's about 12 minutes, at least downtown. Yeah. You know, so even if it's snowing, you can still go see a show because it's only a 12-minute walk and you don't need your car. And, you know, at least that's the lifestyle I've chosen. I love being able to get out into nature at a moment's notice, like either from downtown on foot or, you know, getting in the car and going around the bay. I love the berry picking. I'm really obsessed with berries.
Yeah, I've seen some photos of you when you're berry picking. Yeah, I used to berry pick a bit when I was young.
Yeah, I just, all of it is very exciting. I've reconnected with family that I didn't know I had, particularly in Ochre Pit Cove, Western Bay, Adams Cove. Those are folks who, you know, are more distant relations, but I just lost track with, you know, we lost touch through the generations. And I love the music. I love so much. I love the language. It's so poetic to live here, either in a turn of phrase or the name of a cove. You know, I myself have been doing a lot of creative writing here that's just inspired by the place, the geography. I love that often people just accept that, like, it's a really nice day and it's been foggy for 3 weeks, so I'm going to go for a hike.
Oh, yes.
And so I'm going to reschedule our appointment, and I'm not even going to pretend that something else came up. I'm just going to tell you straight to your face, I can't make our meeting because it's sunny out for the first time in 3 weeks, and we all just accept that. You know? There's a beauty about being, there's a zen about being at the mercy of the North Atlantic, you know, and it's imprinted itself on us over the generations. I love so much that my dark, funny, quirky humor lands well here. I feel like I make jokes that would have fallen flat in other places. And it, you know, it reminds me that my mom and my grandparents did have that influence on me, and they left the finger of Newfoundland, the fingerprint of Newfoundland mm-hmm. on me.
Listen, I'm certain to be very proud of you today with you leaving the legacy that they left behind, and now you're carrying that torch forward for them as well. So I imagine they'd be very proud of you as
Thank you. Thanks. I often wish I could convene a conversation with them.
For sure. Now, as much as, you know, like for me myself, like I complain about the weather, like it's rain, drizzle, and fog, it's snowing. But once you get outside and get to experience it for yourself, Newfoundland and Labrador is beautiful. And you get a little bit more appreciation of that if you moved away for work or something.
Yeah.
And then when you come home, you cherish it that much more. So yeah, very lucky to be here in Newfoundland and Labrador and lived here for my whole life. And I'm very glad that you find a zen in enjoying what Newfoundland and Labrador has to offer.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, one thing that's really going to be exciting come May is the East Coast Music Awards. They're coming back to St. John's for the first time since 2015. 2020, it wasn't St. John's, but I'm not counting that because COVID happened.
Yeah.
Now, of course, May 7th to 11th is when it's taking place, but there has been a petition circling around with the amount of changes that were announced. Now, of course, with new executive, there is going to be some changes and some adapting to, you know, modernize the system. But people have been nervous about it, and people have been scared about the changes and what's that going to do to, like, you know, affect the East Coast Music Awards going forward. Now, some of the changes that were brought up by a petition started by Sherry Jones, the accelerator program is going to be replacing the export buyers program. Audio engineer of the year has been removed. Some long-term contractors are not being renewed. One quote by Maggie Andrews said they are now, like, applications for the East Coast Music Awards are, like, designed like Arts Council applications. And there has been a response from the East Coast Music Association, from Blanche Israel, the CEO of the East Coast Music Association, clarifying a lot of this. So, and there have been some people in Newfoundland and Labrador that were nervous about this as well. So, saying all that, what are your thoughts about it?
Well, I'm not an artist manager anymore, and I'm not an artist, so I speak to this differently. You know, I speak to this is a collegial organization that we partner with, that, you know, the very membership of being an East Coast Music Association member comes from your MIA. If you're a member of Music NL, then you're automatically a member of the ECMAs. You know, I've been new. I am new. I'm a couple months behind Blanche in terms of that newness. And I know it's tricky to administer change. I know that's a delicate thing. I continue to pay attention to the conversation, to listen. There's a lot of listening going on right now. And I understand the ECMAs and Blanche are trying to listen as well. And just make sure that we're going to land that event properly. I'm really keenly engaged in conversations about making sure that the actual 5-day event here, I guess five days, carries off as well as it can, because we missed our last turn.
Yeah.
You know, and 10 years I was at the, I've been to two ECMAs in St. John's. I can't figure out how, but I have. And I missed the one in 2020. Obviously we all did. It didn't really happen. So it's really important for us in Newfoundland and Labrador to have a successful event here.
So have you been speaking with any of the executives since this has come out?
Well, we meet regularly anyhow with the ECMAs, and our boards are in touch. And, you know, there are a whole bunch of ways in which we're consulted and communicated with. Mm-hmm. And we've all been, you know, like I say, doing our best to listen to everybody and bring forward concerns.
Yeah, and I can understand that a little bit because I used to work with Music NL myself. I worked there from about August to November, and running a music celebration week like that, it takes a lot of work, and not everyone's going to be accustomed to change, but the concerns are real, and hopefully we all have a great, successful East Coast Music Award week when it does come here in St. John's. So what do you think Music NL can do to help out with that?
Well, we're listening as much as we can in the position we're in, so we've carried forward some concerns from our members, and, you know, it's a lot for an artist to speak out. I think they feel the most vulnerable. They feel, and I'm really sensitive to that in our organization, that it's tricky. Sometimes you hear voices that carry legitimate concerns, and then you hear voices, their concerns are, I guess, always legitimate, but it might be more fear of change, you know? And mm-hmm. I think you just have to keep working through that and listening to people and keeping an open communication and explaining yourself.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. So we've been listening all we can. We've got some community consultation sessions set up ourselves because we're about to undergo some new planning. And I really want to make sure that we hear from everybody and that we hear from everybody in a place where they hear each other.
Yes.
Because the one-to-one communication is important, but the big group communication is also important.
For
sure. So sometimes if you hear your colleagues advocating for something, even though you don't really care about that thing, when that thing eventually shows up, you realize that it's because your colleagues have wanted it, you know? And so mm-hmm. it can really help people get a wider vista of the community.
For sure. And at the end of the day, we all want to help Atlantic Canadian music grow and Newfoundland and Labrador music grow. I think there's only like one member of the East Coast Music Award, East Coast Music Association board member that's from Newfoundland. There are two staff members that are there, Jing Cha and Tony Carew, but we'll save that for another time.
Yeah.
Music NL right now is going to be undergoing another three-year plan to guide itself from 2025 to 2027. And you are going to be doing that with these community consultation sessions. Now, I don't know what week in November this is going to air, but this will still be timely once it does air. There's one going to be held at the Battery Cafe, I believe, November 13th, and then the other two are going to be held virtually. What do you hope to take away from these community consultation sessions?
Well, we really just want to hear everybody. You know, I mentioned earlier that we live in a fast-changing music economy. You know, we live in a fast-changing world. So it's important for us to, you know, hear the feedback. We got feedback from about one quarter of the people who attended Music Celebration Week, which is actually a really good rate of response. So we've heard some feedback there about what we were offering, but that was Music Celebration Week and not everybody could make it. It's, you know, physically located in St. John's. So we want to really widen the scope. We want to hear from people who are beyond St. John's, the Avalon Peninsula, beyond the overpass, so to speak. We also want to hear from our members in the community in Labrador. We want to hear from the province at large to understand what we can do, not only to improve something that is delivered like Music Celebration Week or other things we may deliver physically, in person, in real time, but what other resources can we offer? Are there online things that we can do? You know, where are we at? And really, you know, my predecessor, Rhonda Tulk-Lane, did a really fantastic job of guiding the organization through the pandemic, out of a period of instability and into a period of stability. And now that we're in that stable place, I would like to know what we can build further.
Yeah. So Rhonda kind of like, you know, opened the door for a fair amount of people because Music NL, when she took over, it was around 250 members. Now it's 1,000 members. And I think now where you're at now, just a few months into your role as executive director, you hope now to burst that door down to see what else can we do to grow this and help this, you know, become the best Music NL it can possibly be.
Absolutely. And actually, how the fabric of the music our community and the music economy in our province. It's a big driver in the province. A lot of the things, you know, as I moved here and friends or people who knew me would approach and be like, oh, I'm coming to town. The first question was always, what should I go see? What should I be listening to? And they weren't always asking me that because I'm involved in the music industry. It's because Newfoundland and Labrador and music are inextricably linked. Mm-hmm. You know, we are storytellers. That is part of our history. It's part of the fabric of who we are. And whether you're telling your story in a hip hop song or in heavy metal, et cetera, that storytelling, carries through in all genres. And what can Music NL do to make sure that that art form is thriving and the business is thriving at the same time? That's really important to me, that both thrive.
So where do you feel the music industry of this province is at right now? Just quick thoughts on that.
That I'm still figuring that out. You know, there's some beautifully unique things about this province. One, our radio landscape is completely different than the rest of the country, and very different from the mainland. We
Big
break
time.
A lot of rules that way. And so even knowing that about ourselves, I think, is important, because when you leave, you know, you can't assume that the things that you do here are going to be, would work the same way, and that the tools and levers are the same.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm still understanding what's unique to our province. There is a lot of capacity for the province to sustain its own music economy. There's a lot of touring that happens, a lot of, you know, physical sales that are actually stronger here than they might be elsewhere. But, you know, making sure the supply chains are there, et cetera, for those things to thrive are really important. So I'm still figuring out the amount to which, you know, our domestic Newfoundland and Labrador music economy and then our exporting music economy need to stay in balance with each other, and what those two parts need to thrive. And there's more than just those two things, but those are the kind of at the moment the things that I'm working to gauge.
So now you're preparing for a 3-year plan to guide Music NL for the next 3 years. Just looking at next year, what do you hope from Music NL in 2025, just from, like, you know, a very limited kind of point of view right now, where you're still in the planning stages of what's going to be coming up next year?
Right. Well, for starters, more online resources, like whether, and we captured all of the panel conference sessions on video, and we are going to start releasing them so that people who weren't at the Music Celebration Week or who were there but didn't have time to attend a certain panel on touring or social media, so that we start to create a virtual library of these sessions and so people can come back and watch them again and again if they need to, or watch them at various periods in their career, you know.
Mm-hmm.
As well, so that we are offering something that the entire province can access and that there is less geographic accessibility issues there. I'm keenly aware of that. It's going to take us a while. It's going to take me a while to figure out how to, first of all, to listen to the province in its entirety and how to reach various communities that are outside of St. John's. But that's one way that I know that we can already start, is to at least put these 12 panels online.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I really would like to work, and I think these are kind of intuitions or gut feelings or sort of observations I have, and we'll see what the consultation brings back. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that investing in the support mechanisms for artists, so having more grant writers, more people who are managers, more people, more booking agents, et cetera, that fabric of support, I think, needs to grow. I think it needs to be strengthened. I think we need to encourage emerging managers. We need to train people so that they have the skills to support artists and to help the artists who want to, you know, some people are totally fine writing their grants. Other people want to just hire someone to do it. And we need to be prepared for both those things.
For sure. And it's especially great to have you in that position now where you've done all that before. And I would also like to shout out Abigail Pye. She's the new marketing communications manager. She helped assist Shelley Nordstrom in running the East Coast Music Awards delegates export program when we were in Charlottetown last. And just having that good team around you, like I'm predicting a very good year for music in 2025.
That's great.
But 2024 overall has been a great year for music when it comes to the amount of music that's put out and the amount of shows that are on the go. Like, music is back in a big way.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And, you know, I also want to give a shout out to Mariana, who works as our programs manager, you know, who's done a really great job of understanding.
She's a
champion. Yeah. I mean, always there to answer questions from artists and members, and has done a really great job of debriefing me on what the entirety of the granting landscape looks like for Music NL. I was on the front end putting in applications for various artists, but I did not have the view of the entirety. And Abigail Pye actually started out working at Music NL back in 2016, 2017.
Oh,
yeah. So oh, big I knew full she, circle for her.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So what was her role there? Did she say?
I think she was a co-op student, kind of internship sort of role. And then, yeah, then she spent several years working for the ECMAs. And yeah, I'm lucky to work with such a wonderful team with Abigail and Mariana.
And and you also got a great board ran by Nigel Jenkins and Mary Beth Waldrum. And they're making some new additions to the board. Matthew Barrett is the most recent addition. Someone from Labrador to be represented there. And having like representatives too from each of the regions of the province can help out as well.
Absolutely. And I mean, Nigel's doing such great work out on the West Coast as well, you know, with all the work he's doing with Laughing Heart Music. We actually have a call for board members. It's a great way to get involved and, you know, be a part of the change you want to see and be a part of the organization you want to see. Right now where we've put out a call for new board members to bring in some new folks, keep everything rotating and keep everybody engaged.
So do you hope to see, like, say, one representative from each region just to, you know, have someone there to get their voices heard?
I mean, we always want to hear that, you know. Sometimes the board role is the way to have that. Sometimes just good consultation is also a great way to have that, you know. Sometimes the board stuff is a little, you know, you're approving budgets sometimes. It's a little trickier. You know, and I think having a healthy balance of a diverse board, diverse in many ways and all kinds of representation, including geographic, is really, really important. And then I think the consultation sessions to really continue to have these town hall style dialogues going with community and membership.
For sure. Now, aside from those community consultations, are there any other big events that we should know about that Music NL is holding in the next few months or so?
No, not directly here. I've been kind of, you know, catching up after Music Celebration Week, as I mentioned, on things that, you know, I had set aside, in the urgency of Music Celebration Week planning. So catching up on our audit, some bookkeeping, all sorts of things like that, and hoping to roll out some new programming in the new year. In the meantime, though, keeping an eye on our newsletter for when we start to drop those professional development sessions that we recorded at Music Celebration Week. That's going to be something. There are, though, quite a few outbound export events that we're going to be at in the in early 2025. We're going to be at Americana UK and at Folk Alliance. With a Music NL representation. So taking some of our artists abroad and helping them with their business development and their showcasing.
For sure. And then after that is going to be the East Coast Music Awards. There's also Canadian
Absolutely.
Folk Music Awards that are coming up soon as well.
Yeah, they will be back in Ottawa. So we might not be as involved in them as we were when they were here. But yeah, always more on the go. And I really hope after our consultation sessions, we'll be able to roll out some stuff in early January and give people some more programming so they have a sense of what's coming up.
And for people who want to find out more about Music NL and especially, you know, get in touch with you to, you know, express their concerns about Music NL and what they're going through, where can they go when it comes to social media and like websites? And what about emails? How can he reach you?
Yeah. Well, my email is on our website. It is ed for executive director at musicnl.ca. But if I said that too fast, I'll just go to our website and you'll find all of the staff contact info. I think it's in the About section, if I'm not mistaken. And all our emails are there. All our phone numbers are there. And we really value hearing from people. Email is definitely the best way to get in touch with me personally, just because I tend to be on the go a bit more. Trying to get me by phone can be a little trickier.
I've learned that firsthand.
But email works really well. And even if you want to email me to set up a time when we can talk by phone, I'm totally happy to do that. That works really well also.
Well, we tackle on some very tough topics and also some very important topics. But I love having these conversations because, again, when it comes to platforms like this, I'm all about growing our sector one song at a time and leaving no one behind, really. And I'm super happy with what you were able to do during Music Celebration Week and your team. And I'm looking forward to seeing what comes up in 2025. And I'm so happy we were able to do this now, considering the fact that you were now a month or two out of Music Celebration Week and you've been really, really busy. So thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to come on the Musical Connections podcast. And this won't be your last time. I can guarantee you that much. T, well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Zach. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the warm welcome again.
My pleasure.
And that was the brand new executive director of Music NL, Tamara Cater. If you want to find out more about how to contact them, whether it be Tamara, Abigail Pye, Mariana Castro, and you want to find out more about how you can grow our music industry, head on over to musicnl.ca. And on that page as well, you'll have a recap of the Music NL Awards, which were held 2 months ago in St. John's. The big winners of that night were Rum Ragged, and they took home awards for Celtic Traditional Artist of the Year, Album of the Year for Gone Jigging, and Video of the Year for a song that they recorded and worked on with Opera on the Avalon's 75 for 75 campaign. Written by Amelia Curran, here are Rum Ragged with 1949 on the Musical Connections podcast.
1949, winds of changes turn the tide. A brand new nation we resign. Sing the valley of Kilbride. All the changes, all the time. We remember 49. Foresters and loggers strike. Turn the union to the riot. Sing along the Badger Drive. All the changes, all the time. We remember 1974. Raise the flag of Labrador. February 82, we all sing Atlantic Blue. Fishermen and foreign crews, come the moratorium. History's a setting sun. Sing the stories of our lives. Empty nets and hard, hard times. All the changes, all the time. We remember 49. All the changes, all the time. We remember 49. All the changes, all the time. We remember 49. All the changes, all the time. We remember 49. changes all the time. We remember 49. All the changes all the time. We remember 49.
And that wraps up our 100th episode of Musical Connections. A huge thank you to Tamara for joining me on Next to Connect. Thanks to all the guests who have been on the segment Next to Connect. And to each and every single one of the musicians, whether it be groups, solo acts, duos, you name it. Thank you so much for considering me and trusting me to spin your music and give you an opportunity to have your music played where you may not get it played otherwise. And a big thank you to everyone who has listened or supported this podcast over the past 100 episodes. This has been an absolute dream of mine to have a platform where people can get their music out there and tell their stories with no barriers, no guardrails. And in order to have a blossoming music sector, we gotta do this together. This has been such an amazing experience so far, and it is only getting started. If you want to keep up to date with Musical Connections, you can follow me on Facebook and YouTube. You can follow me on Facebook at Zach Snow, and on YouTube, you can subscribe to watch full-length Next to Connect videos and Next to Connect content by going to youtube.com/ZachSnowMCNL. I'm also on Instagram and Threads as well. That account name is at ZachSnowNL. If you want to catch up on episodes of the podcast, new episodes drop every Tuesday at 12 noon, and you can search it up and follow it on RSS, Apple, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to like and follow along and not miss an episode. And whatever you do, please, 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 as Sabrina Carpenter would say, please share this with your friends. It'll help spread the word about the show, our music industry, and it'll grow our sector one song at a time with one share at a time. Thank you so, so much for listening for the past 100 episodes, and thank you once again for connecting with me this week. I've been your host of the Musical Connections podcast, Zach Snow. Join me once again next week, where once more we will highlight the music of Newfoundland and Labrador. Stay safe, be kind to each other, and until next time, my friends, safe home.